Chapter 91. Henry Beller was for many years toastmaster at various corporation dinners, during which time he drank a great deal of foreign wine, may sometimes have carried a bottle or two home with him, is not quite certain of that, but is sure if he did, that he drank the contents. Feels very low and melancholy, is very feverish, and has a constant thirst upon him. Thinks it must be the wine he used to drink. Cheers, is out of employ now, and never touches a drop of foreign wine by any chance. Tremendous plaudits. Thomas Burton is purveyor of cat's meat to the Lord Mayor and sheriffs, and several members of the Common Council. The announcement of this gentleman's name was received with breathless interest. Has a wooden leg. Finds a wooden leg expensive. Going over the stones. Used to wear second-hand wooden legs, and drink a glass of hot gin and water regularly every night, sometimes two. Deep sighs. Found the second-hand wooden leg split and rot very quickly. Is firmly persuaded that their constitution was undermined by the gin and water. Prolonged cheering. Buys new wooden legs now, and drinks nothing but water and weak tea. The new legs last twice as long as the others used to do, and he attributes this solely to his temperate habits. Triumphant cheers. Apostrophe. Anthony Hum now moved that the assembly do regale itself with a song. With a view to their rational and moral enjoyment, Brother Mordlin had adapted the beautiful words of who hasn't heard of a jolly young waterman. Apostrophe. Apostrophe. To the tune of the old hundredth, which he would request them to join him in singing. Great applause. He might take that opportunity of expressing his firm persuasion that the late Mr. Dibden, seeing the errors of his former life, had written that song to show the advantages of abstinence. It was a temperance song. Whirlwinds of cheers. The neatness of the young man's attire, the dexterity of his feathering, the enviable state of mind which enabled him, in the beautiful words of the poet, to roll on, thinking of nothing at all. Apostrophe. All combined to prove that he must have been a water drinker. Cheers. Oh, what a state of virtuous jollity. Rapturous cheering. And what was the young man's reward? Let all young men present mark this. The maidens all flocked to his boat so readily. Apostrophe. Loud cheers, in which the ladies joined. What a bright example. The sisterhood. The maidens, flocking round the young waterman, and urging him along the stream of duty and of temperance. But, was it the maidens of humble life only, who soothed, consoled, and supported him? No. He was always first oars with the fine city ladies. Apostrophe. Immense cheering. The soft sex to a man he begged pardon, to a female, rallied round the young waterman, and turned with disgust from the drinker of spirits. Cheers. The Brick Lane Branch brothers were watermen. Cheers and laughter. That room was their boat. That audience were the maidens. And he, Mr. Anthony Hum, however unworthily, was first oars. Unbounded applause. What does he mean by the soft sex, Sammy? Apostrophe. Apostrophe. Inquired Mr. Weller, in a whisper. The woman, apostrophe, said Sam, in the same tone. He ain't far out there, Sammy, apostrophe, replied Mr. Weller. They must be a soft sex, a worry soft sex, indeed, if they let themselves be gammoned by such fellers as him. Apostrophe. Any further observations from the indignant old gentleman were cut short by the announcement of the song, which Mr. Anthony Hum gave out two lines at a time, for the information of such of his hearers as were unacquainted with the legend. While it was being sung, the little man with the drab shorts disappeared. He returned immediately on its conclusion, and whispered Mr. Anthony Hum, with a face of the deepest importance. My friends, apostrophe, said Mr. Hum, holding up his hand in a deprecatory manner, to bespeak the silence of such of the stout old ladies as were yet a line or two behind. My friends, a delegate from the Dorking branch of our society, Brother Stiggins, attends below. Apostrophe. Out came the pocket handkerchiefs again, in greater force than ever, for Mr. Stiggins was excessively popular among the female constituency of Brick Lane. He may approach, I think, apostrophe, said Mr. Hum, looking round him, with a fat smile. Brother Tadger, let him come forth and greet us. Apostrophe, the little man in the drab shorts who answered to the name of Brother Tadger, bustled down the ladder with great speed, and was immediately afterwards heard tumbling up with the Reverend Mr. Stiggins. He's a comin', Sammy, apostrophe whispered Mr. Weller, purple in the countenance with suppressed laughter. Don't say nothing to me, apostrophe replied Sam, for I can't bear it. He's close to the door. I hear him a-knockin' his head again the lath and plaster now. Apostrophe, a Sam Weller spoke, the little door flew open, and Brother Tadger appeared, closely followed by the Reverend Mr. Stiggins, who no sooner entered, than there was a great clapping of hands, and stamping of feet, and flourishing of handkerchiefs. To all of which manifestations of delight, Brother Stiggins returned no other acknowledgement than staring with a wild eye, and a fixed smile, at the extreme top of the wick of the candle on the table, swaying his body to and fro, meanwhile, in a very unsteady and uncertain manner. Are you unwell, Brother Stiggins? Apostrophe, apostrophe whispered Mr. Anthony Hum. I am all right, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Stiggins, in a tone in which ferocity was blended with an extreme thickness of utterance. I am all right, sir. Apostrophe, oh, very well, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Anthony Hum, retreating a few paces. I believe no man here has ventured to say that I am not all right, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins. Oh, certainly not, apostrophe said Mr. Hum. I should advise him not to, sir. I should advise him not, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins. By this time the audience were perfectly silent, and waited with some anxiety for the resumption of business. Will you address the meeting, brother? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Hum, with a smile of invitation. No, sir, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Stiggins. No, sir. I will not, sir. Apostrophe, the meeting looked at each other with raised eyelids, and a murmur of astonishment ran through the room. It's my opinion, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins, unbuttoning his coat, and speaking very loudly. It's my opinion, sir, that this meeting is drunk, sir. Brother Tadger, sir. Apostrophe said Mr. Stiggins, suddenly increasing in ferocity, and turning sharp round on the little man in the drab shorts, you are drunk, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe with this, Mr. Stiggins, entertaining a praiseworthy desire to promote the sobriety of the meeting, and to exclude therefrom all improper characters, hit Brother Tadger on the summit of the nose with such unerring aim, that the drab shorts disappeared like a flash of lightning. Brother Tadger had been knocked, head first, down the ladder. Upon this, the women set up a loud and dismal screaming, and rushing in small parties before their favorite brothers, flung their arms around them to preserve them from danger. An instance of affection, which had nearly proved fatal to Hum, who, being extremely popular, was all but suffocated by the crowd of female devotees that hung about his neck and heaped caresses upon him. The greater part of the lights were quickly put out, and nothing but noise and confusion resounded on all sides. Now, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, taking off his greatcoat with much deliberation, just you step out and fetch in a watchman. Apostrophe, and what are you a-goin' to do, the while? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Sam. Never you mind me, Sammy, apostrophe replied the old gentleman. I shall occupy myself in having a small settlement with that ear Stiggins. Apostrophe, before Sam could interfere to prevent it, his heroic parent had penetrated into a remote corner of the room, and attacked the Reverend Mr. Stiggins with manual dexterity. Come off. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Sam. Come on. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Mr. Weller, and without further invitation he gave the Reverend Mr. Stiggins a preliminary tap on the head, and began dancing round him in a buoyant and cork-like manner, which in a gentleman at his time of life was a perfect marvel to behold. Finding all remonstrances unavailing, Sam pulled his hat firmly on, threw his father's coat over his arm, and taking the old man round the waist, forcibly dragged him down the ladder and into the street, never releasing his hold or permitting him to stop until they reached the corner. As they gained it, they could hear the shouts of the populace, who were witnessing the removal of the Reverend Mr. Stiggins to strong lodgings for the night, and could hear the noise occasioned by the dispersion in various directions of the members of the Brick Lane branch of the United Grand Junction Ebenezer Temperance Association. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.